If you're a carpenter and I hand you over hammer and nails, you can build me something, right? If you hand them to me, I'm not going to know what to do with them. So you got to be the correct person piloting the system and knowing what they're doing, and then also having, you know, that creative sense, because computers aren't telling you what to do. They're just producing results.
That's Joel T. Jordan. I'm Steve Cleveland. This is Sync Club. Hey, Joel. Welcome to the club.
Hey, Steven. Thanks for having me.
So you're the founder of Sync Tank. Can you tell me what Sync Tank is and how it came about?
Okay, sure. Sync Tank is a music management and asset management system for rights holders as well as rights users. That is basically what we call the supply side would be labels, publishers, composers, anybody with a pile of music to manage. And then we also make solutions for rights users, that is the demand side, the buyers, the broadcasters, the production companies, the advertising agencies, and so on. Mm-hmm. So that we serve both sides of the market. It's basically helps people do their jobs a lot faster and more efficiently. A lot of these processes that are typically done in licensing can be done automatically. They can be expedited through computer-aided searches. Mm-hmm. And that's where we come in. Pretty much. We'd help do the heavy lifting for creative people through our tool set. So if you're already good at your job, we make you better at your job, you know, by giving you a complete set of tools that allow you to manage your catalog, whether you own that catalog or you're receiving that catalog. You can tag it with really rich metadata controls. So we allow you to go as deep as you want with semantic data. That is, what does the song sound like? You know, BPM, mood, keys, modes, timbre, instruments, what the song sounds like within the catalog to everything else within the catalog, and what the song sounds like to everything else in the world, the entirety of the music, so that we can recommend searches and recommend tracks that might work for creative people. And then we also allow them to, that is the owners or users of the system, to manage the rights that go with those compositions or recordings. So who wrote it? When did they write it? Who publishes it? Who do we pay? Mm-hmm. Who collects the money? How much do we pay each person? All of the nitty gritty that typically would live on a spreadsheet somewhere, or it would live in a file maker database somewhere, or might even live on a piece of paper, mm-hmm. depending on how old these contracts are. So really, it's about bringing all of that information into one place, as well as things like lyrics and territorial rights and restrictions. Can I use this in a political campaign for tobacco, for alcohol, for mm-hmm. those kinds of things? Anything that you think you would need to know about your catalog or about the catalog that you're supposed to be using for a production is really what Sync Tank is used for.
That's amazing. I mean, it's
a lot, so, there, but I mean,
I read some information in another interview and you were talking about how that adds that layer of metadata, but it says that it's automatically added. So is that like machine learning or?
Yeah, exactly. I forgot to mention that is, part of the metadata controls and the semantic descriptive data that happens within Sync Tank is done automatically. So we're using an algorithm that's, you know, developed off a university study from many years ago. And then we basically commercialize that into a product that we can use within Sync Tank mm-hmm. that allows us to look at the actual waveforms of the song or the recording, that is, and extract the features that a human being would typically say about it. So, you know, what is the key? What is the mode? What is the mood? That kind of stuff. So yes, the algorithm can be trained. Is this rock and roll? Yes or no? Is this jazz? Is this fast or slow? And then over time, the algorithm starts looking at the waveform and saying, this looks like this other thing. So therefore these must sound similar. And we've had this for, you know, many, many, many years. This has been core to Sync Tank's platform since inception, because I realized very, very quickly, even dealing with a 1,000-track catalog, which was what I started with, how hard it is to maintain descriptive data and how hard it is to actually get somebody to sit down and do it that knows what they're talking about. So this isn't a perfect solution by any means. Human beings are the perfect solution.
Right.
But the machine learning allows us to scale catalogs very quickly, like in an afternoon rather than a set of years, which is what right. the only solution was before. The computer doesn't say things like sexy or sensual or anything like that that a human would say. Mm-hmm. It says things like happy, dance, you know.
Sure.
sad, stressful, you know, energetic. So it's got some smarts to it, but the deeper it's trained and the better it's trained, the more it can do.
Man, that seems like a very powerful way to do a search and to get really quality stuff back by what your system is inserting into the metadata.
Yeah, exactly. And then that these automations allow us to build a picture of what the catalog actually sounds like. Mm-hmm. In comparison to every other song within the catalog. So yeah, the automation is super key for large catalogs. I don't know how else we would do it. We work with some of the largest companies in the world that have millions and millions of assets. And to think that, you know, there's some sort of scale and some sort of ability for a human team to do it is they could probably get a percentage of it done, maybe the top earners. But anything beyond that, it just falls off a cliff. It's just not worth putting in the human effort.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you know, that seems like it's going to allow songs that might otherwise be passed over a chance of having another life.
Yeah.
With all the amount of music, like you noted, is it 40,000 mm-hmm. songs being uploaded? Is that daily?
From what I've read.
That is just,
yeah, exactly.
So yeah, you know, how do you find that gem?
This is exactly that is, you know, there's layers upon layers upon layers of data. And so if you're looking for even combining sales data or streaming data or any other kind of meaningful social metrics against a catalog, then you could say things like, I'm looking for blues music that has over 50,000 streams in Germany, and it's got to be from 1991 to 1992. Now, we can do that. So that's the kind of offerings we give movie studios and record labels and publishers that really need to pinpoint exactly what they have and what they can pitch and what they can get out the door. And then also, what are the legalities of it? What rights do they have? Do they have the rights in this territory specifically? Do they have to call the writer? Do they have to call the other publisher? What kind of, you know, permissions do they have? So rather than jumping across multiple systems and jumping through many, many, you know, old filing cabinets of folders, this just really allows us to bring in, create a holistic picture of the catalog. So whether it's being used for sync, which is, you know, where the name Sync Tank comes from, obviously, or it's being used by the revenue department or pitching or marketing or anybody really, they need to understand what they can and can't do with their catalog. Usually the salespeople at these labels have enough to deal with and enough on their plate to pitch that they don't have to go back unless it's an evergreen or golden oldie or something that's that's a tune that everybody has to have or will appear in a movie at least 10 times a year and things like that. Those are the ones that everybody knows anyway, right? But to really get in there and say, well, what else do we have by this specific artist that's not that song? Or what do we have that sounds like that song that's not even by that artist? You know, that's the things that you need to be able to do and do quickly. So really, this system's a force multiplier. I was saying before, it's not going to make you good at your job. It's going to make you better at your job. Mm-hmm. You have to be good at your job in the first place. So if you're a carpenter and I hand you over hammer and nails, you can build me something, right? If you hand them to me, I'm not going to know what to do with them. Right. So you got to be the correct person piloting the system and knowing what they're doing. And then also having, you know, that creative sense, because computers aren't telling you what to do. They're just producing results. It takes the human being to actually embrace it, touch the stuff, understand what the client needs and what the actual creative brief is calling for, not just randomly pitching things that sort of sound like within the gamut of what they were asking for. It's really important to get there fast, get there accurately, and give the people, you know, the buyers what they want. If you can do that and offer options, you know, things that are cheaper or things that they can use more extensively within their production rather than the big hit. You know, you could say, here's the big hit, and then here's three other options that sound sort of like that big hit, or that you might agree with me that this could work creatively.
Mm-hmm. Do you kind of consider Sync Tank more of a platform because it is so customizable, or do you still just think of it as a customizable solution? Because it seems like it offers an awful lot.
Jeez, it started as a very simple thing, like, hey, how do we search our catalog? How do we pitch our catalog? And who opened it? You know, and that's really all I wanted to know. And as time went on and the customers got more and more sophisticated, the problems got more and more sophisticated. Mm-hmm. And, hey, can you do this? Can you do that? We start getting sucked into these projects where the program incrementally gets better. Whether we expose that bit of the program to this client or that client, it's entirely up to them. And we break them out into modules, which just allow us to create tailor-made solutions for company X or company Y.
I've seen like some of your client lists from your website, and it appears that you're working with some pretty massive players in the business, which, you know, leads me to the next thing is like, what size organization do you need to be with, like what size catalog before it makes sense to, you know, pursue a relationship with the Sync Tank?
Well, there's two paths. I mean, really the big company is our focus because that we've been building these enterprise solutions for so long. So usually they're massive companies with massive problems and, you know, lots of staff, lots of office, lots of assets. It doesn't mean we don't work with small to medium enterprises. We do. So we do have, you know, culturally important labels and composers and other folks that we engage with simply because they're amazing. But we do offer a product, you know, which is our off-the-shelf version of Sync Tank, which is Sync Tank Junior, called Sound Gizmo. And pretty much anybody can start with that. And that's kind of our path forward. So we basically allow anybody to use that. There's 30 days free trial on it. It's one of the, you know, more sophisticated platforms out there. So it's actually priced quite well for most people that own 250 to 500 songs. They're probably already in the business somewhat. So we've priced it accordingly. But what it does is it allows you to do most of the things that I've already talked about. That is, set up a portal, tag and present your music, pitch your music, integrate your contact list and your mailing groups, and also license out to anybody that feels like licensing music from you. So you can create your own prices, accept credit card payments, and so on. So that's pretty awesome. And, you know, we allow folks to modify their own systems as much as they like. You know, we support that too. It's just not our main business. But what that does is it de-risks a lot of the, you know, a lot of the questions that folks have when they're coming in to work with Sync Tank is this going to work for me? You know, should I commit? That kind of stuff. Usually, if it's a smaller company, we start with Sound Gizmo simply because it's price to go and it, you know, fits most business models.
I really didn't expect that answer. I kind of assumed that you guys were flying in much.
Well, we try to. I mean, our stratospheres begin, you know, 10 feet above the ground. So okay. It's not, you know, I started this thing on my couch, you know, so my entire point of Sync Tank was do it yourself, right? How do you get there? How do you accomplish these things? If I'm a musician or a composer or a record label owner and I'm just me or just me and somebody else, and I've got a real job on the side or I'm a student in college or whatever it is, how do I do this job day in and day out with no tools? Mm-hmm. Or the tools that I have are completely not fit for purpose, or they're ad hoc, or they're systems created by me, but they're not correct.
Okay.
So, you know, we've over 10 years now have kind of perfected the art of how this business rolls a little bit. And so we understand the workflows and how to be as efficient as possible. So that's exactly how this thing was designed, was how does a single person act like five person and five people act like 20 and so on, and really kind of get out there and kick butt. So there's constant feedback loop coming from Sound Gizmo or Sync Tank as to who's engaging, what they're doing exactly. Are they doing nothing? Do I call them today or tomorrow? Or do I take them to lunch or forget about it, you know? So a lot of the insight that people long for, you can achieve through, you know, a single platform, which allows you to search and pitch and playlist and do all the things that typically you would do through iTunes and Dropbox and zip files and create a ton of work for yourself that really you should be hitting as many options as you can rather than creating more work for yourself.
Yeah. So on the platform, is there like literally like you can make a deliverable directly from the platform? Mm-hmm. So like you have all your stems and all that, and you can just push those out to the purchaser. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And you have your repository of music that tells your story. You know, how do I as a producer or composer tell my story? And if I send people to SoundCloud or send them to, you know, wherever, Facebook, Spotify, anything, you know, I'm amongst a ton of other music. It's distracting. So really, how do I promote my brand? How do I reinforce my brand constantly? And how do I tell my story? And if I'm a person that's been working for a long time and I have a large catalog, there's vastness and value over years that's impossible to tell through something as flat as SoundCloud or, you know, here's a bunch of albums or whatever on Spotify. So there is absolute need for total control over how you present your assets and who you present those assets to. It's all about getting it in front of those people with the least amount of friction. It's got to be streaming. How do I get there right away? Listen to your tune. Yes or no decision, and off I go, right? That's the reality of pitching to a music supervisor. So if you need to grab their attention and, you know, pitch something that tells your story, you can actually, you know, include things that are backing you up. What have I done lately? You know, am I on tour? Is this something that's important for this brand or not for that brand? And when just using simple file sharing programs, it's kind of hard to tell that entirety of the story. And then you're left writing these big long letters about how everything's awesome and creating more work for yourself, you see. So,
right.
And nobody's ever going to read those letters either. So it's just Occam's razor. We need to make this stuff as simple as possible. The fastest solution, the most obvious answer is the right one.
I like that. Hey, so on current trends, are you seeing any trends in the sync business? I mean,
I'm more of the Levi Strauss in this equation. I make pickaxes and tents and dungarees, and then I tell people to run for the hills, right? So that's my take on sync. Is there's a ton of opportunity, but it really, you got to take it by the horns. Mm-hmm. And so you can find trends on things like TuneFind, which tells you exactly what's been on TV and podcasting lately, so you can spot your own trends, and that actually will inform you on how to pitch music and who to pitch it to. So I look at that every once in a while, but overall I haven't really analyzed it to say that, you know, this type of music's doing better than that type of music. But I was talking to one of my friends who's a big time music supervisor for ads, and he's like, you know, if it's a good song, it's a good song, and it really stands the test of time over trends or whatever it may be. So focus on writing good songs, and that's that. You know, whether it gets commercialized through a big sync is a lot to do with everything that goes ahead of that. It doesn't just fall out of the sky. You know, you have to have presence and understand that people will find it if it's out there and it's getting traction elsewhere through streaming services, platforms, whatever it may be. If it's good, it's going to get found.
Yeah. I'm going to ask you this question, and I know it's definitely outside of your core, but I just want to ask it because I've got to find somebody who knows some information on this. And I know that your platform actually, you know, deals with it. Micro licensing, what is it? And like, where do you find opportunities for a micro license?
Well, first of all, a micro license is a tiny, tiny license. It's a license that's done typically automatically. It's usually for user-generated content, so could be for YouTube, for Twitch, or any other third-party streaming platform for broadcasting.
Okay.
And basically allows a user to clear music automatically and then whitelist that music for their channel without breaking a sweat. Mm-hmm. It's typically uneconomical to do these things manually because you'd seriously have a person sitting there doing licenses all day long that might be under $10. They might be, you know, a dollar. It might be things that you're giving away just to collect the performance on YouTube. Any of those things are micro licenses. It's just they're not big licenses that are done by a manual process is typically definitive of a micro license. Our platform deals with it in two ways. We allow catalog owners to set up, you know, an e-commerce solution so that they can slice and dice their catalog and present segments of their catalog or the entirety of their catalog to buyers. So that could be targeted directly towards esports or e-gamers or YouTubers or guys that jump off cliffs with GoPros. Whatever the goal is, whoever the audience is, somebody out there needs music for their film and for their media. Before it goes online, it needs to be cleared. Otherwise, you know, typically the music might get blocked, the video might get blocked, or if their goal is to monetize it, you know, that is sell advertising in front of that piece of media and make money off it, then the music needs to be cleared. Otherwise, the music copyright owner will start collecting the money on it, which is, you know, good for the music owner, obviously. Hence why music owners might give away music to YouTubers in order to collect those rights. So, you know, you can do this yourself through Sync Tank, which we allow, you know, people to do a la carte licenses that are boilerplate licenses that say, hey, here's me, here's you, this is the name of my production, I'm going to use it for this. Here's $10. Here's my credit card number. Downloads it. You know, behind the scenes, we clear it with the person's channel, the user's channel, and off they go, and they're allowed to use that music. We also allow multi-channel network logins, so you can make a segment of your catalog visible to a specific MCN and their creator base for their productions, and then you might offer an entirely different segment to another MCN through the same platform. You can also have different branded experiences down to this specific brand gets this kind of interface and this brand gets this interface and so on. And everything's like, you know, done mobily as well, because all these productions are done mobile compliant as well. So we do everything completely with a view towards, you know, mobile capacity and the ability to do all these transactions on a phone.
Wow.
The other bit is, besides a la carte, is subscription-based licensing. That's blanket licensing to different groups of people or to an individual via a monthly subscription, a yearly subscription, that kind of thing, where they'll have access to a segment of the catalog and that you can change and update that catalog as much or as little as you like. And the buyer, when, as long as they're subscribed to your service, that is you as a rights holder, as long as they're subscribed to your service, whenever they download something, we'll clear the rights behind the scenes, whitelisted for their channel, and they can use the tune. So all the concepts are similar between a big license and a micro license. It's just done incrementally, and hopefully you do thousands of these rather than one big one a month. You do thousands of them, you know, weekly.
Right.
That would be the goal. And usually a lot of these things are driven by social media, and they're not driven by salespeople. It's, how do I get as many eyeballs for people that are using electronic music on Twitch on my catalog so that they'll use my music on Twitch? And, you know, I can sell them subscriptions so that they can access the catalog and go nuts and make their UGC content with my music. I mean, right now it's impossible to do that manually. You'll just, you know, you can't. So automation has opened up a ton of opportunities that typically publishers and record labels would scoff at, but are now looking at it with a curious eye, because there's just revenue sitting there.
Right.
And also it's incredible for promoting an artist. You know, if you have a Twitch user that's popular, use one of your tunes, people are going to find the tune, you know? So it's you know, another way for these promo departments of marketing to really be clever about getting the music out there to the people that actually want to hear it. You need software for that.
I'm glad I asked that question, because I wasn't sure if that was even something you had quite a bit.
A lot there.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
There's a lot to unpack there. And, you know, if you want to get involved with companies that offer micro-licensing, there's companies like AdRev that'll pick up, you know, stuff that already exists out there online. So if you have music that's on YouTube and you need somebody to collect it, they can do that. There's, you know, for micro-licensing, there's Audio Micro, and there's also Rumblefish, and dozens of other sites that sell licenses for tiny amounts, but they do high volumes of it.
Right.
You know, you got to think about what your goal is. Is your goal to get out there and have as many listeners, or is it to make a ton of money, or is it both? I don't know. That's the questions that people ask themselves every day. And that kind of drives the commercial decisions that they make with their catalogs. Do I do this myself? Do I get involved with an agency or a library, or do I do a combination of both of those things?
Yeah. I mean, that's a really tough question. Is like, how do you decide if you're going to continue doing this kind of thing on your own or partnering? And I would imagine some of it has to do with the tools that you have at your disposal. So like, if you had something like the, you know, Sync Tank type of tool, you could probably do a lot more on your own. Otherwise, you really need like a lot of people kind of helping you out who know how everything works.
Sure. I mean, the self-reliance thing is number one, obviously, but collaborating is more important, I think. And having a way to share, you know, the data that you have and the assets that you have and the creative story that you have seamlessly with other people is key.
Yeah. Hey, so Joel, is there anything that you'd like to promote?
I thought I'd mention our Sync blog, which is a really popular music resource for educating folks about sync, licensing, media, metadata, pretty much everything and anything related to the music business. It's not necessarily about the Sync Tank. It's about everything else and about the you know, trends and problems and issues facing the music industry at large.
Yeah, so I'll tell you that you guys have a great blog. I really enjoy it. It's just a
thanks, man.
End user.
So you can check that out at syncblog.com. It's updated pretty much every day. And we also have a Sync Tank weekly newsletter that goes out to about 5,000 different music industry professionals. So if you feel like signing up for that, you can check that out at synctank.com.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for taking the time, man. You did great information, man. I really appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Take care.
All right, bye-bye. This is Steve Cleveland, and you've been listening to Sync Club. If you enjoyed this podcast, make sure you check out the show notes where you can find additional information and links regarding our guest. Hey, let us know what you'd like to hear about. Hit us up on Twitter, username Sync Club Podcast. Thanks for the hang. We'll see you here next week at the club.